Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All righty. Hey, welcome back. And as always, thank you so much for sharing your afternoon and your evening with us on this Sunday. We always appreciate you spending your time with us, whether you spend it with us on your Sunday evening or your Monday drive to work, because we know there's a lot of people that listen to it throughout the week. So for those of you that listen to it throughout the week, I don't want to be remiss in forgetting about you and thanking you as well. All right, Jamal, Zaylor, say hello to everybody.
Hey, good afternoon and happy Sunday, everybody.
Zaylor, sing out.
Welcome, everyone. Go Vikings.
Go Vikings. Okay, here we got to start off with the sports right away. But before we get into the sports thing, happy Halloween out there to everybody. Happy Halloween. Be safe out there and be careful. I'm going to talk about something in a minute. But before we do that, let's talk about what we're going to be talking about today. As you know, last week we started talking about the beauty pageants in France. Had a discriminatory practice where there's a height restriction as well as marital status and also whether or not the contestants have children. So we said that we were going to do something more on that this week because we wanted to do some further research on it, and we did. So we'll be talking about that. The other thing we want to talk about is this business with police chases. Recent case in Minnesota, about a police officer that's going to be charged from a year ago from a police chase situation. So that's why we're bringing that up, because these police chases are getting to be risky business, and they're serious. So we're going to be talking about that and whether or not police officers should be charged when they, in fact, you know, an accident occurs during a police chase and somebody gets injured or killed. So we're going to be talking about that as well. But before we get into that, we are going to be talking about Halloween real quick. And I know Jamal has some things that he wants to always cover. So we'll be doing that. But just to let you know, again, happy Halloween. And I'm curious out there with the audience, or even Jamal and Zaylor, do you guys even know when Halloween started in the United States?
Yeah. 1978, okay. October 31st. For me, anyway. My first.
That's the year he was born, everybody. The month he was born. He would have been 2 weeks old. See, I can't slap him on the ear because then there's going to be, you know, some videotape of the incident. But anyway, 1840 is when Halloween started in the United States. But Halloween itself started way back during the Celtic period. So I think it was like the 8th century or something like that that they started it. But the way it came to the United States was because of the Irish. During the Irish potato famine, when the Irish came over, they brought the tradition with them. And they're the ones that first started carving out the pumpkins with jack-o'-lanterns.
Oh, okay.
So that's how it started out. And it started out just by doing pranks and things of that nature. But then after that, it evolved to what we know today, you know, in the Halloween that we think about it, with trick-or-treating and all of that. So that just kind of developed over the years, so to speak.
Okay.
Anyway, just a little bit of trivia for those who did not know. The Irish are the ones that brought it to the United States after the Irish potato famine when they came over. Okay, with that little bit of trivia, Jamal, we're all just bursting, you know, because to see what you have to talk about today. So what's the deal?
Okay, man. I got two blasts this week, man. That'll be somewhat controversial, I guess.
Go ahead, Jamal.
Well, for one, don't interrupt me, man. That was kind of rude.
Yeah. Unfortunately, okay. I forgot to put it on
mute. For one,
again.
I don't know if you heard this, man, but I want to put PETA on blast, man.
Who?
PETA.
Oh, PETA. I know him. He lives down the street, that guy?
Exactly, that guy. We need to go talk to him. I'm putting PETA on blast, man, because they want to change the term bullpen to something else. Because they
where
the pitchers warm up, they want to change the name of the word bullpen because they feel like that's unfair to animals.
Okay, for those of you that don't know PETA, PETA is an organization in this country. They're actually listed as one of the, you know, I hate to say it, but they're listed as one of the terrorist groups in this country because they do a lot of violent things. I've actually talked about PETA before. And I know that they think that their hearts are in the right way with some of this, but here's an example of they don't have anything better to do. You know, ALF is another one, and also ELF. Those two organizations, PETA's another one, they're not as violent as ALF, and they're not as violent as, you know, as ELF. But at any rate, so they want to change it from bullpen.
To something else. I don't know. I forgot. They want to change. Look it up. They want to change it to something else, man.
They got nothing else better to do.
Yeah.
They're sitting around one day saying, hey, wait a minute, why do they call it bullpen?
Yeah.
Well, I got one for you if we're going to do that. Why is it day after Friday, or Friday after Thanksgiving? Why is that black? You know, Friday.
You know why?
No.
It has to do with the economy.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe we could change that to something else.
Why?
You know, Economy Day.
I mean, it's a color.
I know what it means, being in the red versus being in the black. But my point is, it's just ridiculous as some of this other stuff, man. Yeah.
And now, and last but not least, in terms of the blast, I got one more group to put on blast this week, man. The LGBT community this week, man.
LGBTQ, man.
Q,
plus.
I'm sorry.
Right, that's
this,
okay, man.
This week. Because they're upset because, you know, the movie Halloween came out. There was a gay couple killed in the movie, and they feel like the movie's homophobic now. I mean, look, I'm all empathy for everybody, man, but when you do stuff like that, it start delegitimizing.
I know what you mean.
Delegitimizing real issues that's going on, man. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Michael Myers killed everybody. He killed dwarfs. He killed people. You don't care about race, religion, or creed.
So the next time a black person gets killed in a movie, we should be protesting on the Black Lives Matter?
We normally die before the credits. We normally the first to go in the movie. Every horror movie, you see a brother...
You know,
he's done in the first 10 minutes. Jurassic Park, the only brother, gone. The only one they survived in was the movie about the sharks with LL Cool J in it. And we was in there cheering them on. Come on, LL, you got 10 minutes left.
Right. You mean when they were hunting them?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jamal.
Oh, then you want to comment on her?
No, I was going to say that. Zella, did you want to weigh on that little piece from Jamal? Because we're getting ready to get a call here in a second. We've got somebody that wants to, because it's Halloween, that actually wants to call in and give us a Halloween ghost story.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so.
Cool. Yeah, only thing I'll add is it's my first time hearing about it, and none of my friends have brought it up. So
yeah.
I guess I'm not part of the community if I'm not participating in the protest in regards to Halloween. Everybody gets killed for some system.
Exactly.
There's always going to be a group within a group that's going to be protesting stuff. And so
true.
So if it's not the majority of the community, I wouldn't worry about it.
Right. So I'm putting that small group on blast. That small group. Yeah, like you said, there's always a small group, you know, that, you know, gets a little too carried away with stuff like that.
Well,
but I don't want
to... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You go ahead.
No, the part I was going to add was the same thing with PETA. I mean, I know folks that are animal rights and everything, you know, I know folks, you know, really close to me that they want to do animal rights and make sure people aren't leaving their animals out in the snow in the winter in Minnesota, right? There's a difference between those types of people and the people that are mad because they're using the bullpen label for the baseball.
Okay, we got an incoming call. Answering this call, place your current call on hold, or you can merge the calls. Okay, I want to be able to merge the call, so I'm not sure how to do that. Zeller, you may be on hold for a moment, but I think you'll still be able to listen. Let's see what we're going to do here.
And if it hangs up, I'll call back once we're done with the call.
While you figuring that out,
hang on.
And one more shout out. To there was a situation in Louisiana at a high school where there was a bunch of students fighting.
Hold on one second, Jamal. Caller, I want you to call back in. It looks like we had the call there, but the call got, by the time I get through messing around with this, I want the caller to call back in. Okay. Go ahead, Jamal.
Yeah, there's a high school in Louisiana where there was a bunch of students fighting for, I'm not sure what the reason was, but they was fighting quite a bit. And so what happened is a group of fathers decided to step in. I think it was like 30 or 40 of them to have their presence felt on campus and to cut down all the fighting. And it's had a positive impact on that school. The fathers are really involved with all the children, high-fiving them when they come in. And it's really lifted the spirit and the morale of the school. And it eliminated all the fights and all the drama and all that kind of stuff. And the kids are back to focusing on what they need to focus on. So, man, a round of applause for those fathers who stepped up and decided to do something like that. I think that's brilliant.
Very good, very good. And right now, I believe our caller is on the line. Hello, caller. You have a ghost story you would like to tell us?
Oh, yeah. Can't make this up.
So, so go ahead and tell us your ghost story.
Okay, so you have to imagine I'm riding horses, right? I'm riding a horse with two other people who are on their horses on a dry creek bed with an embankment going up. So we're riding on the trail. It's really hot. It's 92 degrees outside. And we see this woman coming down the embankment. You can see the outline through the brush of her, right? So the horses, you know, they're going along. We say heads up, horse, you know, somebody's coming down in case the horse is spooked. So we're riding. Well, she gets to the bottom and we see her. And the first thing out of mine and my friend's mouth is, what the hell is she wearing? It's hot outside. She's wearing something from neck all the way down to the ground. It's all black and it's just crazy. It was way too hot. So we start riding a little bit more. At one point, she acknowledges us. We acknowledge her. We all nod, smile. And then we get to where she was, and she was gone. Didn't see her run up the trail where she came from. She was just gone. So we stopped the horses, and my friend and I are looking up, and then my husband says, I didn't see anybody. I don't know what you guys were talking about.
Mm. So what do you think it was? An apparition?
I think it was a full body apparition. And San Juan Capistrano is known for being really, really haunted because of, you know, it's one of the first cities established in the state of California.
Right, right.
So, and, you know, the creek that we were riding on, it's dammed off, so it's dried. And that's where a lot of the indigenous people and, you know, anybody who lived in that area used to use that creek as their main source of water.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, hey, we do appreciate you sharing that ghost story with us.
That's... Oh, come on. It was really good.
No, that is.
Scary.
No.
Come on. Woo!
No. Okay.
No, okay. No. I was going to ask you, has there anybody else, has there been like any other news reports or anything like that in that area of this, you know, that somebody seen the same image that you saw?
You know, there's a whole bunch of different ones. So okay. Where we were is not that far away from an Indian cemetery. But if you go down Los Rios Street, there's tons of stories of people seeing apparitions or being touched. Or you walk into, there's a small cafe that I like going into, and they'll tell you there's like two or three ghosts in that cafe and all the workers have experienced something.
So
it's crazy.
So you saw it, but the person with you didn't see
it. No, one person saw it with her, and the other person didn't see it.
There were three of us riding.
Right.
And I saw her, and my friend saw her, but my husband didn't. He was just like, I don't know what you guys were talking about. Nobody was there.
Well, was he riding behind you, next to you? I mean, how were you riding?
We were all riding next to each other. So it was a part of the creek where all three horses could ride next to each other at the same time. Because the creek, you know, it kind of widens, then it'll narrow, then it'll widen. And this was a part of the creek where all three of us could ride next to each other, not in a single file.
Well,
that's creepy.
And the horses didn't even react. The horses saw nothing. Their heads were down. They were totally relaxed. And if they had seen her, their heads probably would have, you know, thrown up.
Right.
And they would have been alerted to it. But they didn't see anything either. Mm. They were totally calm.
That's interesting because there was a house that I lived in. Everybody saw this one ghost or had some kind of story except for my dad. He was the only one.
I believe it.
And you know, the story was kind of crazy because I told my dad, I said, hey, I've seen this thing, this and that. And he said, did you tell your mom about it? And I said, no, I haven't. He said, go tell her. So I told my mom about it. She described the same person and image that I saw. In fact, there was she added to the story and said one night my brother and I were sleeping and she thought she heard us playing in the hallway. Well, she got up out the bed to go, like in the middle of the night. So she got up to go check and saw that we were sound asleep. And she said there was children playing in the hallway, but there was nobody there. So now listen to this. It gets really interesting. Now, this is when me and my brother were kids, and I want to say around like I was nine or 10 years old. Fast forward, I had kids now. And my daughter had recently told me within the last couple years that she was sleeping in that room and she heard kids playing in the hallway. In that same hallway where my mother heard, this is 30 years later, my daughter is saying this. She's never heard this story before from my mother or myself. And she says she looked up and saw what looked like, she said they wasn't kids, but they were little spirit things looking right at her. And she freaked out and never wanted to go back to that house ever since.
They looked at her and she looked at them and there was an acknowledgement there.
There was something, yeah.
And she
said she wanted, she never wanted to acknowledge it, and she said this was the first time that she acknowledged seeing it. So she saw what my mother actually heard.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to talk about Halloween from now until, but unfortunately, we are going to have to move on, or we're never going to get to the agenda we have. So, caller, we do appreciate you sharing that.
Thanks for calling in.
And we also appreciate Jamal.
Problem. Happy Halloween.
Telling everybody our personal haunted stories on the air. No, just kidding. Anyway, thank you, caller.
Bye.
All right, bye. Bye. Okay, so hey, well, you know, Halloween brings these kind of things out on us, but let's get the moving now on some of this other information, because you know I have these emails and I need to talk about those real quick, and then we'll get to the other thing. So, with that in mind, and I'm expecting I think Zayla got booted off, so he'll be back here in a second. Jim, I'm sure you are probably aware of Glenn Youerkin, the Republican is running for governor of Virginia. Now, ahead of the election, Biden, Obama, Harris, they all came out for the Democrat. Now, as it turns out, he's ahead by 8 points, even after they came out. This past Friday, the Democrats tried to claim Youerkin. Okay, hold on a second. We got this call coming in. I want to make sure we're on the air here with Zeller. Zeller, are you back with us? Hello? Okay. I'm going to keep going. I'll just wait for this. Okay, here it comes again. Zayla, are you back?
Yep.
Okay, good. So anyway, this past Friday, the Dems tried to claim that Youerkin was being supported by white supremacists. It turns out that the so-called white supremacists were actually Democrats trying to smear Youerkin. How disgusting. It just goes to show you how desperate the Dems are. You know what? That is true. But let's just be clear that the campaign, Terry McAuliffe's campaign, said that they had absolutely nothing to do with that. These were people who, in fact, were trying to slant things, you know, away from the Republican candidate by into the in favor of the Democrats. But the funny part about it was the people that they had there that were supposed to be the white supremacists, they were dressed up in these outfits, these white outfits, and they were holding those tiki torches. And one of them was black, and one of them was a woman, and three of them were Caucasian. Now, if you're going to be a white supremacist, how in the world are you going to have that as a combination?
Right.
It didn't make any sense. But it turned out that the Lincoln Project was actually the ones that were behind that because of the fact that they didn't want this Republican candidate to win the governorship. But those kind of dirty tactics, in my opinion, is just absolutely disgusting. And I don't say that politicians in general don't do things. So I'm not going to absolve, you know, Republicans or Democrats or whoever. People, when it comes to these elections, sometimes can play dirty pool. Yeah. And this is just another example of it.
The only ones that are honest are the independents.
Well, that was from Georgina from North Carolina. So at any rate, I don't know if you guys want to weigh in on that. I don't think there's much to weigh in on. So we can keep Zeller. Do you agree we can move on?
I missed the beginning part, but that's fine. We can move on.
Okay. Let's go to the next one. Jim, AOC and her squad are now running the Democrats. Biden is too weak to get the infrastructure bill passed. What do you think is going to happen? That's Bill from Fort Lauderdale. Bill, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't even think the Democrats know what's going to happen, quite frankly. I think they're going to try another vote on Tuesday, which is interesting because that's the day that the governor's vote is coming for Virginia. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But what do I think about it? That's between the Democrats. You know, they can't control, you know, part of their, you know, part of their people, part of, the, you know, the Democratic Party. Between these people like AOC and her squad, hey, all I can tell you, that's on them. So I really don't have that much to say about it at all from that perspective. Zaylor, you got anything that you want to add to that?
Yeah, it's interesting that you're using the term control. Anyways, the Democratic Party is the big
Ten. Did you say me using the term?
He didn't say that. He said they.
They. Okay, I just want to make sure because I'm just reading something here. So go ahead. Go ahead, Zell. I'm sorry.
The Democratic Party is a big tent party. Lots of diversity in regards to beliefs and choices and things of that nature. And Biden ran on a policy and a platform, and that's what the Democrats are trying to make happen. And so this is the same stuff and the same types of debates that happened when they were coming forward with the Affordable Care Act. And the Republicans said, oh, the Democratic Party is going to be over. And yet we got over it. And now most folks love and appreciate having access to health care. So let the process play itself out.
No, that's how I look at it. I mean, whatever happens, happens. We got our text message from one person that says Yorkin is not ahead. It's a dead heat. Well, I guess it depends on what poll you look at. Because all these polls that are out there.
It's a dead heat. Yeah.
I know. Well, we've heard it's a dead heat. So who knows? You know what we'll know? We'll know Tuesday night or Wednesday morning when we wake up.
I hope so.
You know, that's when we're going to find out. You know, if it's too close, there's going to be a lot of flim-flam going on, meaning that there's going to be people who are going to claim that, you know, I want a recount, I want this, I want that. So whichever candidate wins, I hope it is enough where there's no issue about recounting and start arguing and fighting over, you know, two votes or whatever the case may be. So, okay, if it's been a dead heat, it's been a... Excuse me?
Can I throw in a quick question?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I hadn't heard necessarily, because a lot of these states have automatic recounts if it's within, you know, a certain percentage point.
Right.
So even though it's pretty much been a dead heat based on the polling that they have, but the polling don't mean anything until you actually have the election that happened. But, you know, it might not necessarily be within the, you know, the purview or the choice of either the candidates if the rule in the state is that, you know, if the election is won within 1, 2, 3 percentage points, that there's an automatic recount. That just may be the default based on what the law is in the state.
Well, whatever the case may be, that's fine with me. You know, whatever it is, you know, then it's got everybody on pins and needles because this apparently is a big race, you know, that they're looking at this. So we'll just wait and see as with the way that this is. Let's move on to the third one so we can get on to some of this other stuff. Jim, did you know that Portland wants to now refund the police by $3 million to get officers since the crimes are increasing? What a joke. And that's from Joe from Irvine. It's true. They are now advertising that they want to get $3 million from the city council now, you know, because they want to now refund the police because the crime is getting so bad in Portland. You know, I agree with you. It is a joke. They were the ones that were defunding them. They led the nation, you know, initially, or was it Minnesota that started? I think it was Minnesota that started that, not to send Zella over the edge. But, you know, Portland was right there falling in line, defund the police. And now they're not the only city. Now there's a few other cities that are also trying to, you know, backwater, so to speak, and now refund because they want more police officers now because the things are getting out of hand. But that's just the way that it is. It's all politics, to make a long story short.
I'm not mad at anybody for trying to do something different to improve something. You know, if you want to shake things up and they want to defund the police, by all means, do what you need to do. Try it. See how it works. If it don't work out, then go back to the old way. You got to keep moving pieces around sometimes to figure out what works the best.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's okay to shake things up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why people like to laugh and kick somebody while they down, but whatever. You know what I mean?
Okay. Zayla, any comments that you want to share?
I agree with Jamal. Sorry, guys.
No, I was asking, was there anything you wanted to share on the issue on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we beat the whole defund to the police myth to, you know, like a dead horse, so I won't go there. But I will focus on the fact that, you know, one of the things that people uplift about the American system of governance is the ability for, you know, new ideas to come up at the ground, at the grassroots level in different cities around the country. And then if it's something that catches on and something that works, then it's stuff that'll work up throughout the states. And then perhaps it'll be something that happens nationally. So I just think it's interesting that, you know, that there's the poo-pooing of different ideas and policies that are coming up. There have been places where they've reimagined policing. Minneapolis, the citizens of Minneapolis will be voting next week in regards to whether we believe that we want to reimagine police, right? It's up to the people. So if that's what the majority of the people in the city want, then that's what we're going to do moving forward. And that's part of the brilliance of that, some may say, in regards to our form of governance. So,
well, just to be clear,
at
okay,
least we have a say.
At least let's be clear that the defunding of police movement was not done by the people. It was done by different governments, city governments, et cetera, with defunding the police. People had nothing to say about it. It was like the city councils that were independently making that decision. That's why in your situation now, it's on the ballot because you and I have talked about this before, that the citizens may not want that. So in these other places, it wasn't the people's voice being heard.
There are people that want that. That's why you have politicians and political figures moving forward on it. And there are people that don't want it. And just like a lot of our national politics on a 50-50 split, look at Pennsylvania, 50-50 split. It seems like that might be the case here in regards to Minnesota, 50-50 split in regards to whether the citizens in this city want to reimagine policing or not. So we can't just say that it's politicians coming up with these ideas. There are people on the ground that have been demanding for a change, because there hasn't been a change up to this point in regards to holding police accountable. So we can't just say with a blanket statement that it's not the people that want this. Right now, the polling is showing that half of the people in the city want a different form of policing than what we've had up to this point.
And
we'll see next week.
And just to be clear, that's not what I was saying. I was saying the people who made the decision to actually defund was not necessarily anybody that got a chance to vote on it. People standing outside with signs saying defund the police. I know that they were there, okay. And there's people but the people that made the decision were not those people, is what I was saying. And I do understand that some people that want it and some that don't.
Good. And this is the discussion I didn't want to get into because we've had this discussion a million times already.
Right.
That Minneapolis did not defund the police. So we'll move on because I know we have other stuff to talk about.
Right.
But Minneapolis City Council did not defund the police.
And I didn't say that they did. Let's move on. Zayler, I said that the movement started out there. Whether they didn't do it, did do it, or whatever, the concept started there and branched out is what I said, is what I meant. So let's just clarify that.
Okay.
All right. Let's keep moving. At any rate, let's get on to this business real quick. We asked our listeners to do a survey on the question of whether or not beauty pageants should have restrictions, so to speak. And we actually got people that, you know, people did respond, as we knew that they would, because our listeners are very good with our surveys. And believe it or not, 50%, it was literally split right down the middle, where some say that no, they shouldn't have the restriction. Basically, anybody should be able to apply. And then we had the other ones that said, no, they said, yes, they should be able to have restrictions. So just to let you know, listeners, it did come back as half and half. So that was very interesting. And before I forget, we did get a person that texted regarding the bullpen. The reason why the bullpen is an issue for Peter, Jamal, to bring that up to you is because, hold on a second, the person is saying, is that the bullpen? To arm barn is per Peter. So I think that's what you were trying to remember, Jamal.
Arm barn.
So it was bullpen to arm, A-R-M barn. So it's an arm barn now, okay? And Peter says a bullpen is where bulls wait before being slaughtered.
Oh, okay.
So there we go. Okay.
Are the cows upset?
You know. Hey, I see them when they're in those trucks heading to the slaughter. I'm yelling, "Try to get out! Try to get out!" Do you know where you're going?
They got bigger issues than baseball, man. They're about to be steaks and
exactly. You know, well, I don't eat that stuff, so yeah. But that's why I tried to tell them to get out. But anyway, let's keep moving. So at any rate, so just to let the listeners know, 50-50, you know. So, but let's look at this because we said we researched it a little bit. So I went online. I looked it up. I looked this up with the Miss United States pageants and things of that nature. And they here's what they say. So why enter? Because you can gain valuable experience with development skills, earn quality scholarship funds for college and graduate school, regardless of whether a title is won, find new interests and discover new opportunities, make lifelong friendships and relationships, learn to set goals, develop a sense of responsibility for helping others, because you know what they say, world peace, okay? Right. Foster a positive, self-motivated achieving goals in your community. And how do you start? It says to become a candidate, you must be between the ages of 17 and 25, be a United States citizen, and that's, of course, for the pageants here, all right, just to be clear. Meet residency requirements for competing in certain city or states. Now, so what's interesting about that is that in order to get to the top one as Miss America, as you can imagine, you really have to go through a number of smaller pageants and start winning those in order to get up to the top. So it's almost like March Madness. So you know how you start with the different brackets and you start going up and going up? That's how it kind of works. Meet character criteria as set forth by the Miss America organization. Be in reasonably good health to meet job requirements and be able to meet the time commitment and job responsibilities as set forth by the local, state, and national competitions in which you can compete. So that's what they say if you want to be a candidate to get started.
Well, hey, man, listen, it's their function. If it's not a state or city or federal thing, see, this is where people don't take advantage of stuff because they have their restrictions. That's for a certain group of people. That opens the lane for you to run something, an avenue or something, a different type of pageant. For the people that you think that should be included in it. It opens up those opportunities. Stop trying to force other people to do what you want them to do. And you probably don't even watch the watch those beauty pageants. You know.
Well, you heard they're getting rid of the swimsuits, right? They're getting rid of the swimsuits in the beauty pageant. It's like, okay. Now you're gonna have less viewership.
Right. No disrespect. Nobody cares how brilliant their minds are. That's right. Not what they're there for.
Right. It's a beauty pageant. Well, let's just look at this. Okay. It says, how tall do you have to be to compete? Because remember with the Miss France one, and by the way, we did get a comment from somebody regarding saying AOC is not running the Democratic Party. Okay. She's not running it. It just seems like she's running it. All right. Let's keep moving. Girls across the country dream of becoming the next Miss USA or Miss America, but many wonder if there's a height requirement. Most major pageants do not have a height requirement, you guys, unless you are competing for a petite system, which requires that you be 5'6 or shorter or Miss Earth. So they got all of these different
pageants, all these different pageants,
which requires contestants to be 5'7 or taller. So remember the issue last week was about France, okay, and whether or not that was discriminatory. You know, they got a height requirement and also the marital status and whether or not you should have children. I've not seen that. Now, I will tell you that Miss USA and Miss Universe pageant, there's no height requirement for these pageants. However, some of the ladies believe that they look for taller contestants.
Okay, look, like I was saying, like, you know how basketball, you know, the taller you are gives you a better chance to make it to the NBA and all that good stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody started a dwarf basketball league. It opened up a whole nother lane and a whole another opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, Ice Cube, he started a 3-on-3 basketball league. That's actually doing pretty good now. It's starting to pick up and it's gaining momentum. A lot of those players are like retired players. That's what I'm saying. There's so many different ways that you can capitalize on this.
So maybe we should have a little people's beauty pageant?
I'm sure they got it.
You know, who knows? Well, you know what? They have them for toddlers and they have them for babies. And they have them for children.
Now, with toddlers and children, I think that ought to be outlawed. I don't see the purpose of 5-year-old girls wearing makeup and stuff like that, looking like adults. I mean, when I saw the whole story on JonBenet Ramsey, that was terrible. You know what I mean?
Oh, and yeah.
Some of the beauty pageant stuff. That's awful. That's borderline child abuse, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's not for nobody. That's not even for the kid. That's for the parents' egos. Mm-hmm. That's all that is.
Well, there is an issue. There's a case that came up that's making some headlines out there. And a federal judge threw out a discrimination case a short time ago, brought forth by an aspiring trans contestant in the Miss United States beauty pageant, who was barred from participating due to her gender identity. This particular individual came out as trans at the age of 18 and started participating in pageants by her mid-20s. After becoming the first transgender woman to compete for the Miss Montana crown, Green won the title of Miss Elite Earth Oregon, okay, in 2019. So then from there, she applied, or they had reached out to her because of the fact that she had won these different things. And a national, the Miss United States contest, they reached out to her because it was the national competition that's separate from both Miss America and Miss USA. So they reached out to her via Facebook that same year. Shortly afterwards, however, she was told to remove her entry from that competition due to the pageant's rule that only a natural-born woman can participate and that all contestants must be assigned female at birth. And they turned around and returned her $195 entry fee. And that's the case that we're talking about, that they told her no. So again, it's interesting. Now I will tell you that they have other countries where they have people that are trans. They have the Miss International Queen pageant as an example that affirms trans women as well. Now, one more point here. The history of trans women participating in beauty pageants is long and storied. In 2018, Angola Ponce, and she became Miss Spain, made history by becoming the first trans woman to participate in the Miss Universe contest. And then last year, Valentina Fulcheri took the Miss International Queen crown in a beauty contest for trans women. So there's one where they had the actual trans woman. So that's what I wanted to come to, Jamal, to what you were saying. They actually have a beauty pageant for trans women.
Right.
You know, so whether Miss Green should have been eliminated or not, again, that's the United States versus some of these other countries.
Right.
Zella, you want to weigh in on this?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can now. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's just all kind of interesting to me. It's like some of the standards are standards where, you know, it's what's the meaning and the purpose behind it, and is there some type of discriminatory animus behind it as opposed to some type of business justification? So, for example, with France having the requirement that they be single, right? I'm sure that the idea is that the men or the women out there that are fawning after their particular candidate, that they know that they're quote attainable, and that's an encouragement for folks to be able to watch it. So it's like, okay, I can see that maybe being like a business reason in regards to that. You know, it's like thinking about the TV show The Bachelor, and it's like, yeah, the people that are trying to, you know, get married or find a partner need to be single, right? So I can see it being that case. But having a height requirement or weight requirement or a skin tone requirement or those different types of things, that's the part where it's kind of different and interesting to me. And the only thing I want to say in regards to the trans aspect is, you know, there are many trans folks who undergo, you know, plastic surgery in order to be able to ensure that their bodies correspond with their gender identity. And so my question would be is, you know, is the issue that they don't want, you know, anybody who has, quote, altered their body be participating in these? Or are cisgender women, who are women that aren't trans, where women that their gender identity corresponds with the gender that they were assigned at birth, if they're able to participate in plastic surgery in order to be able to enhance their bodies and still participate in the competition, that's where I find it to be kind of different from that perspective.
Well, again, some of the other countries don't have it as an issue. But the thing about the married thing, I might say that they also have a Miss Beauty pageant, if I'm not mistaken, for married women as well. So, again, you look at all of these different requirements, and I have to tell you, I have to agree with Jamal on the, in terms of they get to set the guidelines for what they're looking for their particular pageant. And if you don't meet those guidelines, then get with one of the other pageants that you can fall into with those special guidelines. You know, in terms of the discrimination. I'm sorry. What did you say, Zeller?
No, I'm saying, can I throw a quick question in on that point?
Okay.
So what if they said that they didn't, that it was no black women? They're a private entity. They decide that they don't want to have any, that no black women can participate. Would your position be the same in regard to them being able to dictate and make the terms of what they find beauty to be?
First of all, they also already have a Miss Black pageant contest, okay, or pageant. That's the first thing. But the second thing, and most important, is that once again, when you're talking about the United States, that would be a federal civil right violation in this country, as you know. And when it comes to black, let's face it, okay, there's going to be some issues if you tell a black person they can't be in there. So therefore, they don't restrict black people from being in the regular pageants as well, because it would be considered a federal civil law violation, period. So that's what it is. So it doesn't fit there. It can't be discriminatory. I'm going to finish what I was saying, please.
I'm just following up on a question, but I'll let you go.
Jamal, you were going to say something? Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, based on what you just said, that kind of validates Zeller's statement a second ago, because you're looking at a class of people who are being discriminated against, you know, for one reason or the other, whether it's skin tone or gender identity or whatever the case might be. So I think based on what you're saying, like I said, I think it validates Zeller's point. If Zeller was to ask me that question, if they didn't want black people allowed in that, okay, fine, cool. It's your event. I really personally don't care. Hopefully you lose viewerships, and it hurts you that way. You know, I think that's the best approach on these kind of situations. You don't want a certain group of people being there, I hope it hurts your viewership. And then maybe that'll make you change that way. You hit people in the pocketbooks. You know, one way, that's the way I feel.
If it was a black person, it'd be rioting in the streets. At any rate, listen, I gave you my basic feeling about this, okay? Do I think that this should be a discriminatory practice? No. Okay, I don't think it should be a discriminatory practice, but they get to set the guidelines. All the guidelines I read, I didn't see anywhere in there where anybody of any race or skin tone is eliminated. I haven't seen that, okay? This was one pageant that talked about the fact that they withdrew with this lady. A federal court judge turned around and said they get to set the standards, and you have to be a female in order to be in it. The issue is going to be whether or not this person is a female by birth, and that issue is always going to be a controversial issue. That's the problem, okay? So it's not that they're trans, or what that, I guess you could call it that, but the realities are their rule says you have to be a female to be in a beauty contest. So I think that's the issue, and whether or not that person is a female or not is going to be the issue.
And do you think
Let's go on. You know what? We're going to move on, right. Okay? Because I just got a text from somebody asking about the police pursuits. Because we can go around and around about this one. I really honestly believe that, A, my position is going to be that they get to set their restrictions. I don't disagree with you on that, Jamal.
Right.
Civil rights violations could be different when it applies, you know, from what you were saying. I'm not disagreeing with that.
Right.
And I'm pointing this other one out. Let's talk about the police pursuits. Look, this business about police pursuits, Zeller, do us a favor, because there was an issue in Minnesota, and not, I'm only saying that because he and I discussed a case the other day. So it's not that I'm pointing a finger at Minnesota, because these police pursuits are all around the country. So, Zayla, tell us about what the situation is that you and I discussed in your hometown, so to speak.
Yeah, it's actually happened right down the street from me, about less than a half a mile away, that there was a police pursuit. It was around 12:30 in the morning. The police were chasing somebody that had been involved in a nonviolent car theft and a nonviolent fast food robbery. And the police squad car was driving at moments 100 miles an hour at the time of this particular impact, 78 miles an hour on a residential street, and ran into and killed a guy that was in the car driving to his girlfriend's house. And he just got charged with second degree manslaughter and criminal vehicular homicide for this particular high-speed chase. And for Minnesota, this isn't the first high-speed chase that happened like this. Even recently, in December 2018, about a half a mile from my house, there was a high-speed chase that took place, and the person crashed into a playground and hit three kids. Now, that driver was apprehended and was sentenced to 33 months in prison. But then the question becomes is, you know, when should police be engaged in these high-speed pursuits? When should they abort them? You know, I know L.A. has helicopters. We don't have helicopters here in Minneapolis. So
L.A. does not have helicopters.
That's why I brought this up to you.
L.A. does not have helicopters, Ella. In L.A., they call them ghetto birds.
I didn't even know you knew that. I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
They call
Jim
them ghetto
Potts
birds, man. Listen, hey, I was with L.A. County Sheriff's Department, remember? But at any rate, so here's the deal. This is what Zell and I talked about off the air as well with these police pursuits. Look, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, we did not believe in these pursuits. We always felt we could get the person at some time in the future. So we shut down these kind of things. We don't pursue like that. LAPD, they were another case. LAPD had a tendency to do these police chases. We saw those on the news, and they'll do these chases. I don't know their guidelines and things of that nature. I know we got some LAPD people that listen, so maybe I'll get an email from them about their policy. But at any rate, the issue is two things. One is a criminal issue, and the other one is a civil liability issue. And there's sovereign immunity with these police people, believe it or not. In other words, you can't sue, generally speaking, you can't sue the police officer. You have to sue the municipality or the police department that the person belongs to, is affiliated with, which is okay, because let's face it, the police officer is not going to have that kind of money, because you're talking about what some of this is going to be, you know, millions of dollars probably. So you always, Zella, you know, they always go to the deep pocket anyway. So it's the municipality. On the criminal side, you know, as what some research that I've done with some of the different police regulations that are out there, some of it's left to the discretion of the police officer as well. Now, I will say in one of them, they did a consent decree. According to this one consent decree, pursuits for property offenses, misdemeanor offenses, and traffic or civil infractions are prohibited from the police department. Officers need to receive approval before initiating a pursuit. Now, look, that makes sense to me, quite frankly. Why do you want to pursue somebody in a high-speed chase for some type of civil infraction or a traffic offense, you know, or something like that? That doesn't even make sense to me. But the situation that he and I talked about was that the guy had, and the district attorney, by the way, for that area, classified the crimes that he committed as non-violent, okay, felonies. Mm-hmm. So on the one, he had stolen a car. So I'm assuming that he stole the car, but it wasn't, you know, using force with the owner of the car.
Not a carjacking or something.
Yeah, it wasn't a carjacking. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's a non-violent felony. The other two things that he did were robberies of these convenience stores. Now, whether he had a gun or not, we have to stop and think for a moment. You're behind the register and a guy comes in there and he's got his jacket poking at you saying he's got a gun. Okay, I mean, he just walk up and give him a smile and say, give me your money. So whatever he did, that's through, Zell, remember, basic law school, first year law school, through the, you know, robberies through force of fear or intimidation. You know, so a person is going to be intimidated. So to me, I don't consider that a nonviolent felony just because the guy didn't shoot the guy. It's still a felony at that point, and it's a robbery, and it's one of the inherently dangerous felonies under the felony murder rule. Am I correct on that, Zeller? Do you remember the felony murder rule? Right.
That's the part that seemed weird to me, was him framing it, the county attorney, the city attorney, from framing it that way. He's not running for re-election anymore, so it's really interesting that there's all that. But can I really, really quick read the,
yeah, go ahead,
the pursuit policy really quick for you, too?
Mm-hmm.
So it says, officers shall not initiate a pursuit or shall terminate a pursuit in progress if the pursuit poses an unreasonable risk to the officer, the public, or passengers of the vehicle being pursued who may be unwilling participants.
You know, here's what's interesting. That guy got away, okay? Under the felony murder rule, if you commit a felony and somebody dies, okay, before you get to your place of safety, so to speak, you're on the hook for felony murder, which brings first-degree murder. Now, this guy got away. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, this happened a year ago. They're just now, you know, charging this cop, and they probably can't even find this other guy. If, I mean, he's smart. He'd be long gone, to make a long story short. So he's going to end up getting a charge from a criminal standpoint. And quite frankly, the family of the person that did die, they're going to have a civil suit. And quite frankly, they should be paid off. Now, I don't agree with these high-speed pursuits like this, in my opinion, because I think the time has shown is that they are very risky. One of the things that Zale and I talked about is the fact that you guys have no idea. Oh, is it 350? Oh, man, it's time already. I'm telling you, this stuff's amazing how fast this goes. I might want to do a little conclusion on this next week, but right now we're going to have to sign off because we are up against the hard break, so to speak. So at any rate, hey, listen, everybody, thank you very much for listening, as always. And do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. All right? Until next week, we want you to be safe. Zayla, go ahead and sign off. And Jamal, go ahead and sign off.
Hey, be safe out there. Make sure to give all the kids give all the candy to the kids.
Okay, Jamal, go ahead. Sign off real quick.
I'm Jackie, my kids. Happy Halloween, everybody.
All right. Until next week, everybody. Thank you and be safe.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.